think it did in some ways.
It challenged a lot of people's preconceptions.
Yeah.
And I think anything that challenges preconceptions gives an avenue for growth if someone will take advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, it's odd to me that the experiments y'all were going through with light shows, with light and coming up, that I wonder what sparked that all over the nation that people were doing that. Because even down in, I think I'd read about a light show in South Georgia setting up for a club there with an overhead projector and some slides, and I think our big creative thing was threading a black and white and a color film together, and so you had these bizarre ghosts running around. But just experimenting with flashing lights.
Experimenting with light. When you think about it, it's... I learned the most about color and the way that color affects yourself. I learned to see highlights and shadows from my particular... You want the good things that came out of this. I learned my sense of color and I learned my sense of light. And even now, I take pictures based upon the light and the dark. And I do think about that when I'm looking at any composition. I'm looking at the light. I'm looking at the shadow cast by your nose to see where it goes to find the right place to stand and take a photograph of you. So it had profound influences upon the way I take pictures. But... I think God gave me the gift of very unusual vision, and I just try to show people what I see, and that's what makes a photograph anyway, when you can see something that someone else doesn't see.
Yeah.
And then you try to show it to them by taking a picture of it.
Or bring their awareness at the very least to it.
That's right.
Make them look at something they haven't considered before in a new way. That to me, I think, was the thing that I at least got out of it, was this just opening up, trying new things, see
like
what works.
Today when we were driving around, the graffiti, the art, the way people are today decorating their stores,
yeah.
There appears to me someone who wanted to attack it would have to take 4 or 5 months to go and document all these things photographically to show the influence that the period that we're talking about, the 60s to 70s, have had upon the culture that exists in Atlanta today. And I think that's what the whole purpose of this effort is about. We're seeing the influences that that had in its era upon the growth. Where all did we go today where we saw?
We went through Inman Park and Cabbage Town.
Did you go to the Krug Tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what I wonder.
And when we talk about these photographs of that build, the side of the building at 10th and Peachtree, with all the graffiti and the painting that went on it.
Uh-huh.
And then Haynes and I today drive, it's for hours, we see incredible graffiti.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And it needs to be documented because it's an art form. I don't care.
Yeah.
People may think it's trashing up the neighborhood, but there's something in our culture that's demanding it.
Yeah. Well, and until he just moved away recently, there was a guy in that neighborhood that went around documenting all of them.
The guy in Cabbage Town?
No, he lived over near me because he put out a DVD of them. He burned them all to a DVD and put music with it. And it's basically just going through the Krog Tunnel and wherever he'd find a building that somebody had really done beautiful work on. He made postcards on it. I can't remember his name at the moment. There lives up in North Carolina. He started a land trust up there. So he was real active in the neighborhood down there. Anyway, so yeah.
It appears to me that the bumper sticker in literature and graffiti in art may be the only two major contributions that America has made to world culture. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure others would defend that statement.
definitely in the top list, I'm sure. And the t-shirt slogan.
And maybe the t-shirt slogan would be the third area of literature.
Well, back in the 60s and 70s, I don't remember any graffiti being painted except peace signs here and maybe something.
That was the beginning.
Yeah, that and, but except for the corner of 10th and Peachtree where a giant mural was painted on the side of a building. And but today we saw giant murals all over.
That's right. We saw people's business establishments that were the outside of the building had been made into giant murals.
Yeah.
Last night we stopped in front of a, I guess it's a skateboarding shop in Sandy Springs called Ruin, and their entire window, although it was commercial, was a piece of graffiti. But, you know, it was commercial graffiti, but it has to have come out of the same era.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we need to look in more carefully if we're going to do a book.
Yes.
Because one book could lead to the other.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Paul has mentioned to us. And so this is the starting point to see where this thing can go.
Because you need to have somebody who's going to spend 3 or 4 months with a digital camera going around Atlanta, stopping, walking, taking the pictures, not of the historic places, but of the art form that has evolved and the exteriors of many of those business establishments are the form that the art is taking today. And some of them are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
That one artist that we saw, that you said,
yes,
he looks airbrushed. It was so good.
But he was doing whole walls with,
right,
with
there's
airbrush.
There's a guy that works in airbrush that does walls around Little Five Points.
Okay.
But that's where we drove all over. But we saw him from East Atlanta through Inman Park, Cabbage Town, and then into Little Five Points.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much all in there.
Yeah.
It was good.
But he was very, very high
Whereas
quality.
Whereas you look at the Krog Tunnel, and the Krog Tunnel seems more like
gang art.
Like gang art or pure graffiti. We saw real art graffiti on the sides of buildings.
There were some of the graffiti escapes graffiti and approaches art.
Yeah.
And some of it attains it. And I'm one of those art critics who has a very, very high standard. But I still think I will defend to the death the fact that if something that you see makes you think on a little bit higher level than you normally think, it has attained the state of art.
Yes.
And that's always my definition. And it doesn't matter whether it's photographic, whether it's a can of paint, or whether, you know, what your art medium is. The key is, I consider, many people do not consider photography art. And I'm convinced that many times photography transcends taking pictures.
Yeah.
And it all has to do with the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, so there's a lot to that, because two different people can take photos of the same thing. One's a snapshot and one's something
more. One's a
more.
Photograph. And I also know that today, with Photoshop, I don't take snapshots anymore. I'll take a picture, and by the time the people get it, it's not a photographic portrait. It's painting, because hours have gone into fixing little things that are blemishes that would not have been there, you know.
Yeah.
Removing circles under people's eyes. You don't ever remove them. You tone them down, because the circle is part of their personality, but you don't have to make it a part that lessens them as a being.
Yeah.
You can let it be a part that enhances them as we. I think we're through with the hippie district area. We can pause this or.
And we're going to get to KEA.
And the tape.